Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. I've entitled this particular study tonight, Be a Good Example. You'll be reading verse 11 on through verse 16 in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Well, I want to, and we'll focus our attention mainly upon the thought in verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And then there are six things that are enumerated that he was to be exemplary in. Areas of life and particular responsibilities that would be upon him. And this is a passage that I've preached on in times past. I've preached the series on these particular aspects of being an example of the believer, so we'll not exhaust the subject tonight, and I'll reserve the right to come back to it and preach it again someday. But I want to deal with these particular areas of example tonight and think about them for just a moment. The first thing that we notice in this series is that we are to be an example, and Paul said to Timothy, to be an example of the believer in word. That's not too difficult to grasp what he's talking about. In other words, the things that come out of his mouth. Now, the second thing will be conversation, but that idea of conversation is the whole prospect of life. But the first thought is that what do we talk about? What do we express? What do people hear from our lips as we come in contact with them? Well, let me remind you that Peter said to some folks that needed encouraging in his day that they were to speak as of the oracles of God. And it would be well today if we seasoned our words with the very word of God. That would be an expression. Now, I'm not talking about some today who with great piety and pretended holiness just automatically give you an answer every time something comes up with regard to the whole prospect of life. But certainly we need to be conscious of the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to have it hidden in our hearts that as we speak with the full authority of the Word of God. And Paul said, Timothy, especially here he is in a responsible place, you need to be able to speak in the authority and be an example of the believer and believers in word. Certainly there are areas of our lives, aspects of conversation, not about just verbal conversation, now not the second term here, but that are not becoming a Christian. There are expressions in life that sometimes are made and they're not becoming of a Christian. We ought to walk like a Christian. We ought to talk like a Christian. And be careful and guard our tongue. Because we're warned in the Word of God that the tongue's an unruly evil and set on fire of hell. So be an example of the believer in word. Then secondly, he said, in conversation, as you walk in the prospect of life, the course of life, I wonder how many of us would have to hang our head in shame and think of a neighbor maybe that we couldn't talk to because we put ourselves in some particular aspect of life and walk of life, or by some action of ourselves, it puts us in an awkward position to speak of them, their eternal souls. We need to be careful and guard our lives. We need sometimes to think before we act and react in the course of our conversation. And in this particular aspect, look at the whole prospect of life. It was said a long time ago, what you do speaks so much louder than what you say, I can't hear you. Life needs to be complementary to what we say, and certainly ought to be expressive of that which we believe. And we certainly, and the Word of God, are commanded to do a couple of things among many. We are to put off the old man, and the Bible said, with his deeds. And we're to put on the new man. And certainly the inference is that to put on the new man with his deeds. Let our life then be an example of the believer as we walk through this veil of tears. Then the third thing is in charity. Well, we understand that this is a word that is expressing love, and I can do no better than the Lord did to his disciples of old, who to whom he said, love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And so I think we ought to be examples of the believers in love, but it's not just always love of the brother. But there are times that we need to love the sinner enough to do something for him if we can. I was very pleased as I sat in the service down in the little village called Los Pinares. I watched our missionary there as he dealt with the folks, and especially with the children. I could see the expression of Donald's face and the eyes as he quietened the children. I noticed that he did so with great tenderness in his voice and in his eyes. Sometimes preachers have a tendency to want to scare children. And the next day I said to Donald, just so I'd hear it from his own lips, I said, Donald, you're learning to love these folks, aren't you? You know how timid he is. And he ducked and said, yes, I really am. And it showed in his life. Those folks, by and large, are a village of unsaved folks. The congregation that he preaches to each week, by and large, are unsaved people. But he's learned to love their souls. He's loved to learn to love them. And we need to be an example of the believer in charity and love. And then Paul said to Timothy, you need to be an example of the believer in spirit. You know, there are folks who have weak spirits and they're always droopy. There are others that have exuberant spirit and they're always outgoing and straightforward. But we need to learn something of our character and what we ought to be as believers. What kind of spirit? On one occasion, our Lord was going along and there were some Samaritans that seemed to slight the Lord. Peter and John said, let us call fire down from heaven as Elijah did. And their idea was to consume those Samaritans. And our Lord Jesus Christ immediately said, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. Now in that sense, it was not only the Holy Spirit, but the type of the spirit that a Christian ought to be. And I want to just mention a couple of three things about the manner of spirit that we ought to be of. The first thing, I believe we ought to have a discerning spirit. On one occasion, our Lord said to his disciples after he had dealt with the woman at the well, He said, don't stay there yet 4 months, and then come with harvest. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. And those disciples had stood there, and they were watching a crowd of men come out of the city and coming toward them, and yet they had never discerned that they were souls that were in search of a Savior. And I wonder how many folks we might have passed today that we didn't discern that they might have a tender heart today and would have listened. But we need to be of a discerning spirit. Then I think we ought to be of, if you please, a bold spirit. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about yielded to the Spirit of God. Some of the most timid folks I have ever been around in my life are bold when it comes to the things of God, because they're very dependent upon the Holy Spirit in their lives, and they're bold in their spirit because they want to give a good witness and be faithful to the Lord. And we need to be an example, and Timothy needed to be an example of the believers in spirit. And then certainly we need to be an example of the believer in faith. Well, a lot can be said, and this is always a subject for a full message, and sometimes seemingly then some, just on the idea of faith. Now, there is faith that does save, and we understand, as the writer of Hebrews said to the folks he was encouraging, we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And we understand that there's saving faith, but I want you to know that there's faith beyond or more than just saving faith. There is a gift of faith that's taught in the Word of God. You don't find everybody having it either. You'll find a few along the pilgrim's way. I can think of a few that have this gift of faith where when something comes up, they can immediately go to the Lord with it. They leave it there. And the most of the time, they get good results because they have faith just to believe that God is sufficient. And so they exercise that gift of faith. And do you realize that folks are going to look at you as you bear testimony of the Lord's saving grace and see what you do under stress in the hour of trial in your life? Do you go to pieces? Or will you have faith and confidence just to walk in fellowship with the Lord and believe that His grace is sufficient for you? Paul said, I learned this, that His grace is sufficient. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. But it takes faith to put yourself in that particular position. And Paul said to Timothy, you need to be an example of the believers in faith. And then he said, in purity. Now, this needs very little commentary. That we know what he's talking about. We live in a wicked world. We live in an impure world. An impure world. It's come to the place that, by and large, God's name is not even sacred and holy even over the airways today. You hear blasphemy freely expressed over the airways, both radio and television. And the misconducts of life, they're all expressed very openly. And we moved away from the days of purity. There was a group for years that were called the Puritans. They were called Puritans because they believed in purity. They believed in purity of doctrine. They also believed in purity of conduct. And they preached purity of conduct as well as purity of doctrine. And certainly then we need to be an example of the believer in this. And I'll hurry because our time is really gone. But I want to just share some thoughts through verses 13 on through 16. How do we accomplish then this feat of being an example of the believer? Well, just to express a few things here, that Paul said to Timothy to make an application of them. Read the right materials. Read the right materials. Paul said, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Well, read the right materials. And the greatest resource of strength and supply is the Word of God. So give yourself to the Word of God. Read it. Secondly, listen to exhortation. Now, there is a gift of exhortation. I don't have time to get into that tonight, but there are some preachers that are just good exhorters. I heard a preacher that had been under the ministry of Dr. J. Frank Norris years ago. And he said there was one thing about him. He said he could take a guy that really was not extremely educated, but he could teach him and then exhort him to believe that he could take the Word of God and with the presence of the Spirit of God and go out and find a vacant lot and build a church. The secret is just to exhort. But listen to good exhortation. Let somebody encourage you and strengthen you. And then heed doctrine. That's very important. Give yourself to doctrine. We live in a day whenever the idea is we just want to get away from all doctrine. We'll just be spiritual. No, you won't be spiritual if you don't have doctrine. If you don't have right doctrine. You'll not be spiritual. We need to heed doctrine. In the last verse of this chapter, we're told that if you give yourself to good doctrine and continue in them, in so doing, not only do you find salvation for yourself, but there'll be some folks that you speak to that'll be saved as well. I wonder today how many churches across this land somebody will stand and, I put this in quotes, preach, and yet their doctrine is not so clear and their expression is so unclear with regard to the truth about salvation that folks come Sunday after Sunday and never hear enough to really put genuine, honest faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Because a preacher ceased to give heed to good doctrine and to be exhorted to continue to preach that. Final thought, and we'll take time for prayer. Use your gift or gifts. In this case, Paul said, neglect not the gift that is in thee. But you might have more than one gift, but don't neglect the gifts that God's given you. Use them. And you'll be able to accomplish something in your life. You'll be able to be a good example of the believer in all areas that are expressed here in this text tonight. Well,